For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Friday, July 26th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. So this is our third episode of the daily Go Birds morning, and each morning I've had something on the schedule. The Eagles reported to camp. The Eagles had their first day of practice. The Eagles had their second day of practice. Today, on this Friday, nothing. There is nothing on the schedule for today, at least from a public standpoint. The Eagles will be practicing at the NovaCare, but it's a walkthrough. So the walkthrough will not be open to media. Still a practice for them. You know, they'll obviously run plays, work on communication, all those things. But they will not be practicing where there'll be tweets and no training camp stats, sadly. So their schedule so far seems to be 2 days on of practice, a walkthrough, a practice, and then off. So the Eagles, again, have practiced twice. They'll have their walkthrough today, Friday. They will be on Saturday. That'll be back to a normal practice. There'll be tweets. There'll be press conferences, all those things. And then on Sunday, they're off. Like, no walkthrough, no practice. It'll be their first off day of training camp. Then they'll get right back to it on Monday. So from a training perspective, or I said from a schedule perspective, easy day on Friday. You don't have to hang on Twitter looking for updates. There is not as much going on Friday after two busy days. So with those busy days, let's get into some of the latest news with the team. Landon Dickerson, probably the outside of Cooper DeJean, although Dickerson's more important than DeJean, but Landon Dickerson, probably the biggest name that's dealing with an injury. He had a toe laceration. Jordan Mailata kind of joked afterwards he's not going to, you know, talk about Landon's feet. So I don't think it's a serious injury. Obviously, the nature of the name, too, a laceration. Like, I'm sure it hurts, but he's not going to be out for multiple weeks. And in fact, he has not been. He was back at practice on Thursday. He did some of the individual work, and then he also took a few team reps. So it was good to see him back out there. Obviously, with him back, Mekhi Becton was back with the second team. Tyler Steen was the right guard. So it was good to see Landon back. Good to see him at least starting to take some of the team reps again after dealing with that toe laceration. Sorry about that. My voice was cracking a little bit there. Outside of Landon Dickerson, other players dealing with injuries, the other kind of big-ish name that was added to the injury list, Oren Burke, the linebacker that they signed from the San Francisco 49ers, he was out at practice today, but he did not practice. He was with the linebackers. He was watching. He was, you know, taking mental reps, but he didn't practice with a knee injury. That's a new injury. We'll see if he's on the practice field on Saturday. Obviously, when you hear knee, that's not good. You don't want to, you know, it's not a toe laceration, right? Like Oren Burke, you know, hopefully he is okay. He'll be battling for a backup spot on this roster. So Oren Burke's missed practice on Thursday. Brett Toth still out with that hamstring. He was limited, so he got some work in, but, you know, still not full strength after that hamstring injury. The new injury from Thursday, which came at the end of practice, was to Jeremiah Trotter Jr. It was a developmental 7-on-7 period. He went to run towards the sideline. I saw it, you know, from where I was watching. He went down, grabbed his hamstring immediately, laid on the ground, tried to get up at first, you know, still hurting, went back down. The trainers came. He laid down. The trainers worked on him for a little bit. The cart came over. He stood up, got on the cart, and was carted off of practice. Now, unfortunately, in my time covering the team, I've seen a lot of players get on carts. And two differences, I think when you hear the cart, your initial reaction is, this is really bad. And fingers crossed, it is hopefully not a really bad injury. But the cart did come over, like, almost immediately. I think it was, to be honest, like, a premature cart. Normally, they work on the guy, and then they wave for it. The cart came right away. I also think the fact that it was end of practice, you know, the day was over. It was, you know, looked like he was dealing with the leg injury. They probably just put him out of precaution. He sat in the front seat. He didn't get in the back of the cart like seriously injured players normally do. So, you know, I think the hope is that he is okay. Again, they only have a walkthrough on Friday. They practice Saturday. I'd be surprised if he's out there on Saturday, just because it is a bit of a quick turnaround if it is a leg or a hamstring injury. But overall, I think it's positive news for Trotter that it doesn't sound initially like it's going to be anything serious. I think it'll maybe be a little time on the sideline, but I don't think this is going to be season ending, which is always a worry when you see someone grab a leg and the cart comes out. So outside of Jeremiah Trotter, there were some signings that the team made, not big names. These will be guys that will be competing for practice squad spots. So they signed wide receiver Griffin Herbert, which looks a lot like Justin Herbert, but it's not. It's Hebert. So that was a mispronunciation on my part. Griffin Hebert. And they waived a tackle whose name I've not been able to pronounce, Gottlieb Adizi. And he goes from being on the non-football injury list to being waived. So two minor roster moves to help them out with bodies at training camp. So you should check out the post-practice pod that me and Brandon Lee Gowen recorded on Thursday. But for those that haven't yet and are checking out what they might have missed on Thursday, the depth chart notes from practice on Thursday. So Zach Bond was once again the linebacker next to Devin White. Second day in a row where he's taken pretty much, I think, all the significant snaps next to Devin White. Nakobe and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. prior to being injured did get first-team reps. Nakobe with significantly more first-team reps than Trotter. But they're really shuffling those guys in and out behind Zach Bond. I think as of right now, as I've said, I think Devin White and Zach Bond are going to be the starting linebackers. And if Bond plays really poorly, maybe Nakobe gets a shot. But I think that this is not as much of a competition as the next spot we're talking about, which is the cornerback two spot. If you've been following along, you know the first day was Isaiah Rogers at the starting corner opposite Darius Slay. The second day, Thursday, was Keely Rengo. He was the number two corner opposite Slay. They did rotate, like Isaiah Rogers got some first-team reps as well, but Keely was the first one up. So it seems like in a traditional training camp battle way, they're going to alternate days until someone ends up taking the job or until they just decide to put Quinyon Mitchell out there. But Keely Rengo started at the second cornerback spot today. The other interesting depth chart news that happened was John Ross, who I thought had an awesome offseason, and clearly the Eagles agree, got reps of the first team offense over Paris Campbell as wide receiver three. I'm really surprised by this. I thought John Ross had a chance to make the team. I didn't think this early into camp he'd be getting wide receiver three snap. So he looked good out there. He got a catch. I think he adds something to the game that Paris Campbell does not. He's faster than Campbell, doesn't have the size, but he does add speed. So John Ross, third wide receiver reps with the first team offense. Very interesting. And I'll be curious to see on Saturday if maybe it's somebody else in there or if they go back to Campbell. And then from practice stats, Hurts finished 15 of 17 with one touchdown, zero interceptions. A really good day. You should listen to the post-practice pod for more of a breakdown. But as the stats show, very efficient. The only two incompletions he had were drop passes. He's done a really good job spraying the ball around in these first two practices. And in the first two overall, he's 30 out of 33 with his three incompletions being drop passes. So another outstanding day from Hurts. And like I said, you should check out the post-practice pod to hear more about his day. So few headlines I wanted to get into after this, but first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, the biggest news that you need to know from practice outside of depth chart and injuries is probably this quote from Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio was asked about Bryce Huff and the fact that he's been a part-time player and that he hasn't played 100% of the snaps and he hasn't been good against the run. And it was an answer that I'll let you be the judge, but I thought it was a brutally honest answer. So here's Vic Fangio on Bryce Huff.
Well, I think everybody thought he could. And knowing that the floor was just rush downs, but he's taken the challenge on very well. And I do think he has the talent to do what we want him to do. It's just he's got to get familiar with doing it. And so it will be a work in progress. Does he look like he could do it today? No, but I do think eventually he will.
Yeah, so that answer certainly did not come from the Howie Roseman book of not saying anything at the podium. I thought it was brutally honest. I thought it was telling that he doesn't feel Bryce can play against the run. I think Bryce will be out there regardless. I think he'll still play the most edge snaps. But if Huff wasn't able to play the run all last year, hasn't been able to play it so far in the offseason, I don't know what's going to change in a month. So I think it'll be good to have Vic work with Bryce on this. I think, again, he will be out there. But a pretty surprising and telling quote from Vic Fangio about Bryce Huff. The next headline, and this isn't news, but I just thought it was interesting, is that Pro Football Focus is naming their best players of the era for each team. So for the Eagles, they picked Brandon Graham, or at least he was one of the ones they noted. And I thought it was an interesting stat that they had here about Brandon Graham. So they write, Graham has been one of the league's best since he was drafted in the first round of the 2010 NFL Draft. Over the last 14 seasons, 97 edge rushers have played 2,000 or more pass rush snaps. So over the past 14 seasons, 97 edge rushers have played 2,000 or more pass rush snaps. Among that group, Graham ranks 8th in Pro Football pass rush grade, 5th in pass rush win rate, and 5th in pressure rate, and 5th in total pressures. So that's surprising. Obviously, that's a bit of a longevity thing, the fact that he has played over the past 14 seasons. But if you told me 97 edge rushers qualify and he's in the top 10, I'm surprised by that because he never really puts up big sack numbers. So hopefully Bryce can turn into a guy that over the next 14 years puts up those type of numbers. But was just surprising to see Brandon Graham getting that type of production compared to other guys that have played that long. So thank you to everybody that listened. As I said, there will be no practice on Friday, but there will be practice on Saturday. And maybe we'll have another pod for you for that. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And I will talk to you guys Saturday on Go Birds Radio.
Go Birds!
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.